inspire you. High school and collegiate Hall of Famer Margot Hinton, touching on the importance of self-discipline, always challenging yourself, and the support of community. It's Give It Up with Margot Hinton on Urban Media Today Radio.
Welcome to the Give It Up podcast on UrbanMediaToday.com, where we still give it up for excellence, greatness, and leadership, and continue to use sports as a metaphor for life and life. And today, we're definitely using sports as a metaphor for life. And we are also going to dissect some social justice issues related to sports. I'll talk about my guest in a minute because she's here and she's basically my partner in power. She ain't even no guest no more. She here just like I am. All right. So what we have first, always, is the Give It Up spotlight. And today's spotlight is none other than head football coach of the Pittsburgh Steelers, Mr. Mike Tomlin. Here it is. National Football League, NFL head coach Mike Tomlin was born on March 15, 1972 in Hampton, Virginia, to Julia and Ed Tomlin. Tomlin graduated from Denby High School in Newport News, Virginia in 1990 and received an athletic scholarship to play football at the College of William and Mary. While there, Tomlin joined the Kappa Alpha Psi fraternity and played as a wide receiver on the varsity football team. After graduating from college with a sociology degree, Tomlin began his coaching career when he was hired by the Virginia Military Institute. Shout out to my main man, Mr. Bertram Greenidge, who graduated also from VMI. And he was a wide receiver coach in 1995. In 2002, Tomlin got his first NFL coaching opportunity when he was hired by the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in Florida as a defensive backs coach. Tomlin was named the Pittsburgh Steelers' 16th head coach on January 27, 2007. As the Steelers' head coach, Tomlin has a legacy of achievement. He became the youngest head coach to win a Super Bowl by beating the Cardinals in his second season at age 36. Under his leadership, the Steelers have won 9 playoff runs, 7 division titles, 3 AFC championship games, 2 Super Bowl appearances, and they won a Super Bowl number 43. During the 2008 Super Bowl, Tomlin became only the 3rd Black head coach to appear there and the youngest head coach to win. Tomlin has never, I repeat, never had a losing season. He is one of the only 10 Black head coaches in NFL history, and he is the man. And he recently, for about 2 weeks, was the only Black head coach in the National Football League. So please give it up for Mike Tomlin. Okay, so my guest, y'all. Welcome to my guest. She's back, Carlita Harris. We ain't even going down a resume. She's a D1.
Yeah, please don't do all of that. Let's just jump into it. They know who I am. Let's go.
Exactly. We ain't going into the resume.
I'm Carlita. I live in Pittsburgh. I'm a St. Louis native. I play basketball in college. Let's go.
I like it. All right. So outside of the conversation, what is new with you? What's going on? What's your focus right now? What's holding your attention?
Definitely getting acclimated. Just took a new position at a new company after being in my prior company for 4 years. So that's what I'm just pretty much focusing on right now.
Love it. Well, congratulations on a new position. I'm sure you're killing it because that's what you do. So let's talk about
excellent move.
Okay. All right. You want to tell us a little bit about what you're doing?
No. I'm doing the same thing just at a different company.
All right. I'm going to guess that. No, we good. All right. She ain't going into that, y'all. It's a secret. It's top secret CIA stuff.
I would say top secret. We're not going to talk about my job on this podcast.
A little secret, y'all. A little secret. Okay. All right. Let's get with this. We talked about Mike Tomlin in the spotlight. So my question is, how do you see Mike Tomlin in terms of NFL coaching history? And like, what are the implications for just everything that he has done? How do you see it?
Well, I don't know if I'm the best as far as like NFL coaching history. I mean, I do know a little bit about the Pittsburgh Steelers history. So I would just say this. I think that Mike Tomlin has done an excellent job. I think that the proof for coaches is all, well, I'll say this, the proof in his coaching situation was when a lot of the previous coach, Cowers, people had kind of moved on and what he has been able to do with the team since. The only spot on Mike Tomlin's resume, I feel, is not being able to get one of those teams when they had like Le'Veon Bell, Antonio Brown, and Ben not being able to get one of those teams to the Super Bowl, because those teams definitely were Super Bowl ready, especially on the offensive side of the ball. But I mean, you got to look at it. He ran into Bill Belichick and Tom Brady, and that clearly was a dynasty in the making. So it's kind of like a lot of people who have lost to Michael Jordan, right? You lose to Michael Jordan. If they didn't come up against Michael Jordan, how many people in the NBA would have had rings? You think about Reggie Miller, maybe. You think about the New York Knicks. You think about all of these different teams, Charles Barkley, Karl Malone. You think about all these greats.
Patrick Ewing
would have had rings. Yeah, I said New York Knicks, so he counts for Patrick Ewing. But so I think that that's what Tomlin really ran into, is a dynasty being formed in the AFC. I think that the Steelers are in a like semi kind of rebuilding mode. They're in a weird kind of era, kind of similar to when they were coming out of, they kind of like when they were coming out of the 70s, and you had that whole stretch where they had some good flashes, but they kind of rebuild and trying to get back to a Super Bowl. So I don't have any issues with Mike Tomlin. I think that over the years, he's definitely proven his worth and why they selected him, especially what he did a few years ago when we didn't even have a quarterback, a for real quarterback out there, let's be real. And even this season. So he definitely knows how to have a team prepared to go out there and compete. And much respect to Mike Tomlin and much respect to the Steelers organization for always, I feel, putting African-Americans in good positions to be successful. I'll just say that. You know, Pittsburgh Steelers is a team, it was like back in the day in the league, I think the Steelers and one other team had like black players, and that was it. So I think the Steelers have always, and the Rooneys have always been ahead, and we'll talk about it. And I think that's what has helped Mike Tomlin be successful, is the organization as well.
Killer Bees, you're right. When we had the Killer Bees, that was a little, I felt like those were the teams right there.
You ran into the Patriots. It was the Patriots. It was 2 years in a row they lost to the Patriots. I mean, you ran into the Michael Jordan of the NFL. It was Tom Brady and Bill Belichick combined. It's nothing. It was meant to be. It's nothing you can do when you run into that type of talent.
And see, what I used to say, and I see the way that you see it, I used to say, because after Hines Ward, I'm trying to think who was before him, Jerome Bettis, and a couple other Steelers that stood out to me as leadership, because I feel like in those big moments when you run into a Tom Brady and a Bill Belichick, the difference is leadership. And I think recently Cam Hayward and Ben got better at leadership. I feel like we've built some leaders, but we built them at a time where our talent wasn't as good as it was then. That's sort of my take on it. Just like, get over the top. All right, let's jump into this. You already talked about it a little bit. So the Rooney Rule. So Dan Rooney was always supportive of marginalized communities, which is Black people in this case, having at least opportunities to interview for these coaching positions. And he put his money where his mouth is. He hired Mike Tomlin, and he's the longest standing head coach in the National Football League till this day. He's the man. What do you think about the Rooney Rule and obviously its ineffectiveness? And why do you think it's been so ineffective?
Because at the end of the day, most of these NFL teams are unfortunately not owned by families like the Rooneys. So that's number one. You don't have, I mean, you got to think about the Steelers. So the Steelers were, you know, created and formed by Art Rooney. Art Rooney was a man of the, not of the street, but I would like to say of the street, of the neighborhood. You know what I mean? He wasn't like somebody who inherited a bunch of money, was rich as a child. So you just, I think that you just had somebody who made this team and this organization that came from a different type of cloth. And a lot of these owners are older, white men and billionaires, and they want to do what they want to do. And the one thing that we know about billionaires and people of that ilk is most of the time they don't like being told anything by anyone, and it's just going to be their way or the highway. And because of the money that they have and what that brings them, they feel like they can continue to do that. And I think you just get it to a point in society where people are like, no more of this. So it's going to be really interesting down the road to see what happens. I think the only way that you can really, really implement change in this case is it's going to have to come down to like some sort of infraction, some type of punishment, some type of money, monetary, you know, punishments. It's going to have to come down to something like that. Or you'd have to like reorganize the way that team ownership is in the NFL. It's got to be one of the two, because I just think that these people are old, they're set in their ways, and that's why the Rooney Rule is ineffective, because while his intentions were good, the power to implement consequences has to like kind of come collectively from the league. And then you think about the league and the commissioner, well, the league and the commissioners, they work for the owners, and the owners are the ones who are essentially making these coaching decisions. So again, all the power rests with the owners. So when you have an organization, when your league is organized where the owners have so much power, what can you really do? What do you think?
Yeah, so I wanted to read something to you, and then I'll give you my opinion on how I think. I feel like there's a potential for change. So in 2018, I forgot about this. In the 2018 season, five Black head coaches were fired, and they were all replaced with five white head coaches. And I think it speaks to exactly what you're talking about. It's almost like Black coaches have like a shorter leash, so to speak, in terms yes. of the turnover. Like, you get one season and you better get it right. And then you may or may not have the right resources for your team to get better. And speaking of what you said about, you know, people hire people like themselves for the most part, unless they have a mindset like, let's try something a little bit different. So I think that's part of what happens with this ownership. And I got a taste of it in terms of how people get hired when, for my school, I was on the interview panel. And when I was on the interview panel, I could see clearly why there were very few Black people being hired. I could see how the resume process worked. I could see how they actually went after people and who they were looking for. I could see what they were looking for in certain things in people's resume. And I could see the lines of questioning that were asked in the interviews. And I was like, y'all ain't never gonna have no Black folks. So I could see it clearly. So my suggestion, and I wrote it down because I want to say it the right way, is to have Black people on the hiring committee. Also have players.
But then you have to have Black leaders in your organization. What do these organizations look like? How many Black people are in leadership in these organizations? How many women are in leadership in these organizations?
Well, what I was going to say is, in my case, I was an employee that was on the interview panel. And we had final say into who got to be this particular teacher. It was a teaching position. So okay,
Who's going to make that panel? Is going to make them make this panel, though? Who's going to do that?
No, I don't know. Who's going to make everything? I'm just giving a suggestion as to how you can implement fair hiring processes. If it's 70% of the league is Black, then I feel like you can have at least a third of the people on the interviewing panel be Black players on that team looking at these coaches. So now, going back to what I said before, if I tend to hire people that look like me, you're looking for things that are going to motivate you to play on the field. So if I'm good enough to play for you and make you money, I should be good enough to run your team and make you money. So let's get the right people making the decisions and not let it come down to one owner saying, hey, you're the person that we want for the coach. Let's make it a village making this decision. I think that's the only way you can change it. And I don't know if you can mandate it. Like you said, I'm not sure if you can mandate it, but that's the only way it can change in terms of, you know, I think getting the right, they talk about the right fit, because what does that really mean? The right fit is who the players are going to follow and who has the right plan to get them to where they're trying to go. So let the players have some say-so and be on that hiring panel or whatever you want to call it, and let's see what happens.
Well, I think that that's a great suggestion, but I just don't see that happening without some sort of change in organization. leadership and change in the makeup of the ownership of these teams. Because, like, let's take Jerry Jones, for example.
Hold that thought. We got to take one commercial break, and we'll get right back to that. We will start with Jerry Jones. This is the Give It Up podcast, and we'll be right back.
Urban Media Today and Urban Media Today Radio celebrates Black History Month.
In the 1920s, Black Bottom and Paradise Valley were the center of music and culture in Detroit, hosting artists such as Count Basie, Duke Ellington, and Billie Holiday, and home to hundreds of Black-owned businesses. Black Bottom, where many thought I can make history.
Celebrating Black History Month, we are Urban Media Today.
We are back. Carlita was dropping knowledge and giving an example about Jerry Jones, and I know what you're going to say about him, but go ahead.
Use him because he's like the most, he's the most well-known owner, I think, in the NFL because of how he puts himself out there and he interacts with the media and the team. So, like, can you imagine from all the reports that you heard, somebody making him form an interview panel where they have just as much say in the hiring of a head coach as him? It's not going to happen. So unless ownership structures change and the way that the team ownership is organized, I just don't see it happening anytime in the future. Unless Brian Flores can win that case. If he has more people that join in with him on that case and they really, really make a statement in the courts or some sort of like congressional hearings, it's not reorganizing. You are dealing with 32 legit billionaires, right. Multi-billionaires, some of them. It's not happening.
Let's jump into the Brian Flores. So I just want to read a little bit about what the lawsuit is about. So the Miami Dolphins head coach, Brian Flores, filed a lawsuit that was brought against the league, and he's suing the NFL and three teams, which include the Dolphins, who just fired him, the Broncos, and the Giants, because I think it was the Giants where they basically told somebody 3 days before his interview that they got the job. So he's alleging discrimination regarding his interview process with Denver and New York and his hiring and his firing last month by Miami. Like you already said, I think that's going to, I don't know how it's going to go, but I do know that the NFL also just hired Loretta Lynch, who was the first African-American attorney general under Obama as the counsel attorney for the NFL. And I know there's a big uproar. Any thoughts on any of that? What you see about the case, Loretta Lynch?
I knew about the lawsuit and the details of the lawsuit. I had not heard about Loretta Lynch's hire. So I will have to do some more research on that. I can definitely understand why there's a big uproar, but what's your opinion on it?
Okay. So when I first heard it, which I really just heard, I heard her name. I was listening to some show and I heard Loretta Lynch. There's a big uproar. I didn't even know what they were talking about. I didn't even know it was about the NFL. And so then this morning, I listened to Joe Madison on Sirius XM and his take on it. And he was talking about how he was a part of some civil rights case back in the day. And once again, somebody Black was defending the people that they were. And that's what they do. I think Malcolm X.
I'm going to say that. You know, they always go and find one.
Malcolm X talked about it. They going to find somebody Black to counter your thing.
I wonder how much money she's getting. I want to know what she's getting paid per hour.
It's her firm, and she wasn't originally on it, but they brought her into it, I think. They hired her firm, and then they brought her into it to serve. And so he was saying what happened in the situation he was in. It ended up being, he didn't necessarily call it a win-win, but he felt like his side had a fair shake when it was all said and done because the other side had Black counsel. So he was saying, hold your opinions until we see what she does. Because there could be some strategy behind it where they're saying, okay, you're saying we got this problem. We want somebody Black there at least defending us, but at the same time, hearing what you're trying to say. That was his take on it. I don't know if we'll see.
We have to table that because, again, I haven't read up on it, and I will be Googling that tomorrow while I am working and listening to certain things while, I like to have stuff on in the background while I work when I'm not on the phones. And we'll see. But I do agree with them. Like, let's see what happens. But, you know, it looks suspect in the beginning. But let's see what happens. We'll see.
The NFL,
I'm done with the NFL. Like, the NFL has all sorts of problems. Like, honestly, if I love watching football games and I watch it. But, like, if the Steelers weren't in the NFL, it'd be easy for me to boycott the NFL. The only thing that keeps me tied to the NFL is the Steelers, because I know and do my research as a Black person living in America, I know what that franchise's history is and I know what they have been about. Like I told you, they have one of the only one of two Black people in the league back in like the 1940s and 30s. So this has been a trend of the Rooneys from the beginning. I bet a lot of people didn't know that they had one of the only two Black players in the league back then in the 30s and 40s. So this goes all the way back. And Pittsburgh, I think as a city, you know, we have our issues, but like the professional teams have been pretty good. Like the Pirates have their history of starting the first Black and Brown all starting team out there in the field. So, I mean, like Steelers organization, I can go for it. The rest of these organizations, suspect, done.
I would not cheer for another team. Mm-hmm. This is it. You're
not here for another team. Mm-mm.
Listen, you heard it here first. Social justice oriented Black folks, y'all need to be rooting for the Steelers. Let's go.
I don't know why you're rooting for them.
And you know what? The funny thing is, I feel like us, I ain't gonna name all the teams, but we have like fans all over the world.
Oh, yeah, we do.
It's deep. So it might be a thing. I might have to start that hashtag. Yeah. Hashtag Black folks.
Right.
Steelers. That's it. Get on board, y'all. Okay. I'm trying to see where else we want to guess. We talked about the Rooney Rule. We talked about his lawsuit. We talked about the NFL and their issues over time. Let's pivot a little bit. Let's pivot. So let's do this before we pivot. Who did you have in a Super Bowl?
I didn't have anybody. I wanted the Bengals to win just because, like, okay, so nothing against any other players on the Rams, but, like, the owner, here we go again, the owner, the organization, the NFL, colluding with the Rams ownership to get them in L.A., take them out of St. Louis wrongfully. So NFL tries to bury the story. NFL says they have not done anything wrong. That's called BS by the court system. They had to pay the city of St. Louis and like other major, you know, benefactors to the Rams being there like billions of dollars. I think it was like $900 million, not billions. It was millions of dollars that they had to pay. Oh, yeah, they try to bury that story. See,
I did not know this.
That just recently happened. I mean, like, you know, a few months before the Super Bowl, the court ruling came down. They had to pay St. Louis. They definitely had to pay them.
Wow.
Because they wanted what they wanted. You know, I understand that L.A. has a big market, but why do you have to move the Rams to L.A.? You know what I mean? Like, the Chargers, I can see them moving them from San Diego, to be honest.
Right, because we ain't heard nothing from the Chargers in forever.
But why did you have to, like, move them to L.A.? Why didn't you do an expansion team if you really just needed a team in L.A.? And now they have two teams in L.A. And honestly, to me, L.A. is not even a football town. It's a baseball and basketball town. Let's get real. The only teams that people care about in L.A. are the Lakers, mm-hmm, and the Dodgers, and maybe the LA Kings. You know what I mean? From the hockey, they may care about them. I'm not sure, but I know for a fact, Lakers and Dodgers, like, they've never been able to hold, you know, football teams in LA. And I think that's for a reason. It's too much to do out in LA, and those people are finicky, and a lot of it is Hollywood. So that's my feelings on that. But anyway, I wanted the Bengals to win, even though they are in AFC North and they go against our Steelers, but I did want them to win. I thought it was a great story, but we'll see what the Bengals do, because that owner doesn't spend any money. I mean, he might be worse than a Pirates owner. So,
oh, God. If anybody's worse than the Pirates, you know they got issues. Listen, I was, like, struggling because I sort of wanted – it was like 60-40%. I think I wanted the Bengals 60%. And the 40% for the Rams, because Aaron Donald and my cousin knows him, and my cousin's friend is his trainer. And I was like, oh, we got to go for Aaron Donald. And if I knew that backstory, I probably would have been 100% for the Bengals. And just so you guys know, Carlita is from St. Louis. So she know what she talking about when she say they basically, they had to buy their way out of St. Louis, which is crazy to me.
Yeah, St. Louis sued them and they had to pay. And you know what? You know who I listen to a lot for, like when I really want to know the deal, like Brian Flores case or the St. Louis case, Mike Florio, NBC.
Say his name again.
Mike Florio on NBC. He does like pro football talk.
I'm going to have to look NBC. Him up.
He's at the Super Bowl. They have him. He's a commentator and everything. But what separates him away from those other commentators, he actually has a law background. He's a trial lawyer. Okay. Yeah. So, like, when it comes down to, like, the legalities of things, like, he knows what the hell he's talking about. So, I listen to Mike Florio. And he's, like, for Western Pennsylvania, too. So, like, yeah. I listen to Mike Florio. He knows what he's talking about. He's not, like, just up there talking so he can get a hot take and have, like, and get a bunch of hits or get a bunch of, you know, like views on YouTube. Like he's up there telling it how it is. And he called it. He was like, the NFL is going to pay St. Louis. Watch. And they did.
Wow. This is good information. I don't know
with Florio on the real stuff.
That's good information. So now, okay, so we both sort of were for the Bengals. They lost. The game was decent. The whole playoffs was off the chain, though. I mean, all the other games were like down to the wire.
I think this had to be one of the best seasons in the NFL. What do you think? I mean, like every game almost was going down to.
It was either a winning field goal or we went to overtime. Amazing football.
Let me see what the Bengals do though, because I don't think that they're going to make. Well, they'll have to draft, and I don't know what draft picks they have. I'm hoping for the Steelers' sake that they do mess up, and they don't want to pay any offensive linemen to come. But like Joe Burrow is going to end up like out of the league in 4 years, we keep getting sacked that much.
And going back to my point I made earlier, I think Joe Burrow is like an unbelievable leader. I think his leadership with that team and some skilled players led them to where they got to. I mean, it makes a difference. Who's in that huddle?
So far with Joe, he's young. From a leadership perspective, from just, I don't follow the Bengals, but, you know, just from what I see every Sunday, but a lot better than Ben Roethlisberger at the same age, I can tell you that.
And on that note,
the leadership.
And on that note, we'll talk about Ben's retirement next week, y'all. We'll talk about that next week. We have another commercial break. This is the Give It Up podcast on UrbanMediaToday.com, and we will be right back.
Did you know untreated chlamydia and gonorrhea can make it so that you or your partner might not be able to become pregnant? Get tested today. Visit Allegheny County Health Department's Public Health Clinic for free and confidential walk-in HIV STD screenings at the Hill District location, 1908 Wiley Avenue. Call 412-578-8081 for more information.
Welcome back to the Give It Up podcast on UrbanMediaToday.com. I'm here with my guest, Carlita Harris from St. Louis. We just talked about the Rams buying their way out. They just had to pay because they did them dirty. And now they're in L.A. and they sort of bought a Super Bowl, I guess, too.
I hated that. But that's the world we live in, capitalism. So
it is. But I love Aaron Donald. So if you're listening, Aaron, you're still the man.
Yeah, the players, I felt good about all the players. I was happy about Odell Beckham Jr., Matt Stafford, Aaron Donald, Jalen Ramsey. I can leave him. But a lot of those players on the Rams, I like Cooper Kupp. I like the backgrounds, the grind, the work, you know, and all of that stuff. I just feel sorry for DeSean Jackson. He should have just stayed with the Rams.
Oh.
He could have won the Super Bowl because he's from L.A., I think.
Oops.
But, you know, he went to the Raiders.
Mm-hmm. And they had a good run considering all the drama they had this year. They had a halfway decent.
Oh, sure.
We already talked about that on the show. Oof. Yeah, they had some mess. Okay, so halftime show. And then we'll be done with the football. We got to talk about the halftime show. Now, I loved it. I'm just going to start with that. I was like, this, and I was doing my work, like homework for school, and then watching it at the same time. And I was like, every time somebody new came up, Dr. Dre, when he got on the piano, I was like, just drop the mic right there. Just drop the mic. What did you think?
Well, honestly, I thought that it was a good halftime show. It does not top when Beyonce came out there in those Black Panther outfits, though.
Never.
Nothing to me can top that one. I don't think so. I think she like did a Michael Jackson that day. But
never.
It was right. It was very good. I love Mary J. Blige. I've always been a Mary J. Blige fan, even though she was up there dancing off beat. But she got back on the beat, and I loved her outfit, and she represented all the thick thighs. She was up there looking good. But, like, I like Kendrick Lamar's performance.
50 Cent. We go right.
Down. I was like, that 50 Cent, you may fall off of that thing, because, you know, he always talking about people. I was like, you so big, you done gained so much weight, you may break that pole. You need to not be hanging upside down. The blood gonna rush to your head real fast. But it was good. I mean, overall, I thought that it was well put together.
People were talking about 50 Cent. I felt bad for 50. Yeah,
I thought that Mary J. Blige should have done, like, Family Affair and not no more drama, because this is Super Bowl, so he wants to be upbeat. And, like, Family Affair would have been, like, you know, upbeat. Like, who wants to be in the Super Bowl thinking about
no more drama? I totally agree with that one. Mary J, though, she's timeless. Her and Eric Badu are just, like, timeless. All right. Yeah. Okay.
She has her new album out, and her new album is good. Release. No more albums. New release.
Mary J got a new release out?
Yeah, it just came out. So it was good marketing for her as well to be performing the Super Bowl and drop a new release. That's what I was saying. You can't call it an album anymore. I date myself when I say album, but new release, and it's called Good Morning Gorgeous. Very good, positive stuff for women on there. I like it.
Okay, I'm getting that.
Check it out.
As soon as we get done with this podcast, I will be getting Good Morning Gorgeous. I love it. Okay, we're pivoting. Yeah. We are pivoting to the NBA because it is All-Star Weekend, people. And so we got to talk about the NBA just a little bit. We got a little bit of time left, so we're going to talk about the NBA. Let me see what my first go-to question is. So let me say this. Okay, so we got to start with this. Right now, whatever period this is, right before, at the All-Star break, who you got winning the championship? Who you think has the best odds on, in your mind, not the world's mind, of winning a championship this year?
Anything can happen. But right now, I think if I had to call it right now, the Bucks, I think they can run it back. I'll tell you why. Because the Bucks have a real team. That's number one. And you play, and you understand what I'm, they have a real old school team where everybody knows their position. Everybody plays their position. Nobody has an ego. Nobody has a problem. And even their leader, he leads by example. He plays old school hard. He's not playing games when he's out there between those lines. I said already, he leads by example. He's not flashy. Giannis is my favorite player in the league right now. Giannis has this attitude and this demeanor that's way beyond his years. And I think that comes from him being an immigrant, his upbringing. And I think that some of the African-American players from here, I think some of them have lost some of that. Mm. And I think Giannis reminds you of that, of like how the grind really used to be. If you look at his story, where he's come from, where he's been and where he's going. I think if he stays like that, he's going to be one of the biggest international stars, because he already is. And I think that if the Bucks continue to put pieces around him, they will be contenders for years, because the organization, the coaches, and the leader all play their position. And it's something beautiful to watch. It's very old school in the way that the Bucks put that team together, in the way that the Bucks won that championship, and the way that they approach. It depends on how Golden State continues to gel. And when we get to around April, I want to see what Golden State is looking like around like April.
Okay.
You know what I mean? And then we can talk about it again. But right now, I definitely have the Bucks.
Listen, I agree with everything you said. And I don't even want to admit it, because you know how big a LeBron James fan I am. But my cousin Malcolm and I, we said at the end of last season, we were like, Giannis! We were like, oh my God. And as a referee, you know, because you're a referee, this dude is a role model on the court. Like, I've only seen him. He don't even really get upset with nobody, including the refs, whereas a lot of players, they got something to say on every play. Like, they don't do nothing wrong.
On and off the court.
He plays basketball. Like old school, grind it out. I'm trying to beat you every time. I'm not jogging back on defense. I'm not, you know, taking this play off. I am all out on every play. His whole demeanor, the way, like when he's on the bench, he's standing up like he's the coach, clapping harder for his teammates than, you know, the coach and anybody else is. I think Giannis, I agree. I think they have the best chance because
there's so dangerous about the Bucks is they have a real squad. So it's like, it's so many shooters. There's so many people like if Giannis has an off game, like Chris Middleton usually step up. It's like, you can't, I don't see anybody out there with a team gelling unless the Warriors can kind of, you know, return back to form, which they were showing glimpses of at the beginning of this season. Like, who else has a real squad that's together like that? Because, you know as well as I do, at the end of the day, that's what it's going to take to win a championship in football, basketball, whatever ball. Like, who has a squad that's together?
That's it.
Don't worry, I'll wait, and the Lakers ain't going nowhere.
All right, let's jump into the Lakers. Let's talk about the
Lakers trip when they brought Westbrook in there. Look at DeMar DeRozan. He out there. Come on, man. Why did they not go with him? Why would you get Westbrook? Oh, my God.
Can I tell you, I just found out that DeRozan was heading to L.A. and wanted to go. Because I didn't even know he was from L.A., first of all. I didn't know he wanted to go to L.A. He ends up in Chicago, and he's like MVP race. But LeBron is still doing his thing. LeBron's playing better than he ever has. And then AD, come on, Anthony Davis. If you get hurt one more time, you know he got hurt last night. Anthony Davis.
No, like I know. I don't like when people like start talking about injuries, because injuries is something that like it really is not out of your control. It's all about the way your body is built.
Yes.
You get into some genetics and blessings. That's God and the way your body is built and the way you take care of it.
I'm with you, and because I'm an injury person myself.
Injuries, I get on him about his play.
I shouldn't be saying nothing about injuries because I'm an injury. But when I played,
I get on Anthony
when I
Davis
played,
about
I didn't really
his
get injuries.
Play.
Now I do.
Anthony Davis's play to me, since he's been with the Lakers, I didn't watch him a lot with the Pelicans. I watched him enough to know that he was better with the Pelicans than he is now in his older age and with the Lakers. Like, I think that he went Hollywood when he got with the Lakers. His play is weak, and Giannis shows you that every time he plays Giannis, who we were just talking about. The last time they played the Lakers, he ate Anthony Davis's lunch and dinner, and then went in and told his mama to fill up his plate again. That's what Giannis did to Anthony Davis. So Anthony Davis, his whole, like, what he has in his repertoire, he should be Giannis, but he's not, because he's soft, and he's gone soft.
So and he was a former point guard, so he should definitely be young. He was a point guard in high school and grew like 8 inches or something.
I'm done with Anthony. I'm done with I call it LAAD. I'm done with LAAD.
Okay, so
AD, Pelicans AD, I was cool with LAAD. You went to Hollywood.
But the one light I have for the Lakers is when all three of them were together and they played Golden State this week, they lost by like 2-3 points. That's my light at the end of the tunnel. That's my light.
They lost. That's key word. They lost. They did not win the game.
They was competitive though. So I'm down to just want them to be competitive at this point.
Let me ask you, do you think the Lakers are going to the playoffs? Just honestly, do you think the Lakers are making the playoffs this year?
So that was one of my questions. And the question was really, are they going to be in the play-in? Is the play-in where they have to play one game, or are they going to be in the play-in where they got to play two games? It's the play-in. They're going to be straight up playoffs. They play-ins and hope they catch fire with the play-in. That's pretty much what we got right now.
Listen, no shade to what Russell Westbrook. I like the brother, but like his confidence. I mean, it's like that type of spotlight that comes with like LA, LeBron, and the media that is broken his confidence. Hopefully he can get that back. I don't want to see Russell Westbrook go out like this, but that was just not a good fit at all.
I agree.
As soon as I heard that announcement, I was like,
I didn't know. I was just happy because my two favorite players were going to be playing on the Lakers, which are Russell Westbrook and LeBron James. So I was like crying, like, yes, this is the greatest thing that's ever happened. And I totally agree about this confidence.
I'm crying because they're not
going. And the crazy thing about Russ's shot, if you watch his form, His form is bomb. He ain't got no confidence. When you're missing like that and your form is good, like it's tight, something ain't right. That's confidence. I agree. But I feel because he has a lot of bravado, but it's not showing up in terms of his play right now, which is sad, and we'll move on.
I'm tired. I can't wait. I'm tired. I know that LeBron is a great treasure and talent for basketball. I'm tired of LeBron James. I'm tired of hearing his name. I'm tired of all the hoopla. I'm over it. You have not won two championships except for being in Miami when you weren't in control in Miami. We all know who was in control in Miami. That was Pat Riley in control. So
that goes back to my leadership point.
He's just running around. I don't take anything away from LeBron James, but I'm just like, come on, he's definitely a diva. Like, you have not won a championship and two championships in more than one place. You've been to the thing 10 times and won from before. Like, I'm tired of you.
Y'all know I ain't saying much because I love him.
I know.
I ain't saying much right now. Okay, so the blockbuster trade. Let's talk about that big trade. I guess it's blockbuster. What I heard, the specifics of the deal, meaning the Ben Simmons to the Nets, and you had James Harden going to the Sixers. When I heard the specifics, because to me, that's like a one for one, maybe send one more person with each of them to balance it out. But I feel like the Nets killed this deal. I want to hear your take. Let me just tell everybody who it was. So the 76ers received James Harden and Paul Millsap. That was it. And then the Nets got Simmons, Curry, Drummond, who had 19 rebounds the other night, and two first-round picks. So I'm thinking to myself, Sixers, I feel like they lost that deal. What do you think?
Maury is just, I don't know, obsessed with James Harden for some reason. He already burned you once, but all right. Listen, overall, I think that the Nets won definitely with the trade. I mean, they let Seth Curry join Patty Mills in the backwards. Yeah. Okay. So first of all, I'm just going to stop there. You let Seth Curry join Patty Mills in the backcourt to join Kevin Durant. So, you know, Seth Curry, Patty Mills, and Kevin all running around.
In your same conference.
Right. And Ben Simmons is from Australia. Patty Mills is from Australia. I think Ben looks up to, not look up to him, but he trusts Patty Mills. So that's going to get him over whatever roadblocks he had.
Right.
I don't like Ben Simmons because I feel like he didn't have any mental health issues. And mental health issues are that's something that's very serious. And especially if you think about the Black community and how sometimes they don't address mental health issues and the stigma around it, and you saying that the reason why you're not talking to the media and the reason why you're not playing is because you have mental health issues, all of a sudden you get traded and you're in front of the media. I don't like that. So Ben Simmons, he's on my you-know-what list. But besides that point, he really doesn't want to shoot the ball. As maybe he didn't want to shoot it as a Sixer. I don't know what the drama that was going on. But even if they did him wrong, it's a professional way to handle things. I just think that he handled it poorly. And even from his first days of being at LSU, you should have known what Ben Simmons was about and who he was as a person. Now, he doesn't have to shoot the ball. Because, like I said, Patty Mills, Seth Curry, Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving when it's an away game. What do he need to shoot the ball for? I heard somebody commentating, they're like, well, it's going to be 4 against 5. I'm like, no, it's not, because Ben Simmons is still going to play defense. And if you give him a lane, he'll take that and he'll dunk the ball and do that. Like, he'll take the lane to take those shots.
Listen, he's an all-star. I think they forget he's an all-star. The dude is an all-star player.
He knows how to facilitate. So, like, Kyrie Irving really don't even have to facilitate. He can go sit over there and be a two, and then you can sub in and out with Pat. Listen. The Nets won that deal. What do you, outside talking, what are your opinions on the deal?
Absolutely. And I think they're going to be a problem, if not this year, 100% next year when Kyrie's playing every game. That's a problem for the whole, they're going to be a problem.
That's why I'm going to see, like, come April, I always do a check-in in April. And I'm like, okay, let me see, evaluate. Because if those dudes are gelling in April, Bucks losing.
Yeah, because they're going to remember that toe on the line. They're going to remember Kevin Durant's toe on the line.
Yeah, it's going to be hard to guard all of them. But, like, I don't know. Bucks are gritty. So they're going to make it a game.
Yeah.
That's the one thing they have, too. They have grit. And Rue Holiday, if he's healthy, he can defend. So,
you know how he shut down Chris Paul last year, but we did find out Chris Paul was hurt. But he locked him down.
Another one that's always hurt.
We'll get into him another day. All right, we got another break, believe it or not. These breaks come quick. We will be right back. This is the Give It Up podcast on UrbanMediaToday.com.
Urban Media Today celebrates Black History Month. Here's a Black History Month spotlight with Kiki Brown on Urban Media Today.
August Wilson, a Pittsburgh native, playwright, Pulitzer Prize winner, and legend, born April 27, 1945. Growing up in the Hill District section of Pittsburgh, August Wilson became a pioneer in the arts, building a collection of timeless theatrical pieces that continue to teach, reach, and inspire young artists from all around the world. Academy Award winner Denzel Washington traveled to Pittsburgh to film Fences, Wilson's first screenplay, which won actress Viola Davis an Academy Award for Best Performance by an Actress in a Supporting Role, and nominated for Best Performance by an Actor for Denzel Washington and Best Adapted Screenplay for Mr. Wilson himself. According to the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, Denzel Washington says he plans to produce 10 Pulitzer-winning playwright August Wilson's plays for HBO over the next decade. Why not shine a spotlight on a pioneer who's been shining their brightness on the city of Pittsburgh from the beginning? Celebrating August Wilson this Black History Month, I'm Kiki Brown.
Okay, we're back. We're breaking down the NBA. It's All-Star Weekend. Let's jump into some of that. All-Star Weekend. No, I lied. Let's not do that because we didn't talk enough about James Harden. So James Harden, what do you think? In Philly, what do you see happening there? And then number two, what is James Harden's, you know, current contribution to basketball? Like his legacy, like he went from OKC, and to be honest, now everybody travels across the league because we can follow Kevin Durant's cycle. We can follow LeBron's cycle. Now we can follow Westbrook's cycle and traveling. They all got the traveling shoes on. Now James Harden got his traveling shoes on. But what do you think about traveling shoes?
Is not Westbrook is always sent away though. LeBron and Harden, they asked to leave.
Oh God. That hurts me deep in my core to hear that about Russ. All right, what do you think about Philly Harden? What's that going to look like?
I don't know. Like James Harden to me, what has his contribution been? His best contribution to me has been finally being so blatant with fouls and crying about fouls. His best contribution to me has been getting the rules changed to reasonable foul calls. I'll tell you, that's what his contribution has been. I'm a James Harden fan, never have been, and don't care.
Listen, I love what you said right there, because I would watch the games and bring
it dear to me.
I'm like, isn't he like making fouls? What is going on here? Like he was creating fouls. And I'm like, and I'm sitting at home. I know you're probably doing the same thing saying, I would never call that. Like, we're at home as referees saying, I would never give him that foul.
It really was starting to impede on the integrity of the game, and I think that's why the NBA put a stop to it. They're like, we have to stop this. Because you know how it is. You have a whole generation coming up and wanting that, and that was really, again, I cannot say it enough. It was really starting to impact the integrity of the game. And he pushed it so hard that they finally changed everything. And other than that, I don't think he's contributed anything.
Wow.
He's not Steph Curry. Like, what has he contributed? What has he done? What type of example has he set? What has he done?
We're going to meditate on that, yeah.
Teach everybody how to, like, you know, incorporate a travel into a three-point shot. Like, that's his contribution. Okay.
And I would watch those tapes back. The kids would ask me, and I'd be like, y'all, that's travel. I'm like, y'all, don't practice that. That's travel. Quit practicing that. Yeah.
Like, I mean, like, yeah.
Remember, I was a rules interpreter.
I'm not going to. James Harden is a talent. I'm not going to take that away from him. And he's done a great thing and he could take care of his family. But other than that, I don't see it for him. He's not like Giannis. So, or some other. You know who I really like? I like Morant.
Well, that was my next question. Who right now do you think is he's mine, so that's why I'm telling you the question. But who do you think is the most exciting player in the league right now? I got Ja Morant.
Me
or LaMelo Ball.
Yeah. Ja is more electrifying than me.
He's so good. It's like he's on a trampoline.
Yeah, that man, genetically, God just gifted him something that's God-given. You know what I mean?
Did you see the block? The block?
Yeah, I'm interested to see, like, how he develops and if he puts in the work, because he's got God-given athleticism and talent that you can't emulate. And I really like him. I like his attitude. I thought it was funny when he has that edge to him. Like, he told that little kid to take that jersey off. Like, he's really about, like, the team. And, you know, so, that's what I like. Like, not all of this, like, kumbaya and, like, let's all, like, be friends. Like, what are we playing the sport for if we all going to be friends? Like, you can't be friends with everybody you play against. Like, that's not a reality. So, you know, I think that he's really exciting. And Ja Morant and, like, Lamar Jackson are two of the, like, most exciting people to watch in their sport.
Mm.
The things that they can do is like being in a video game. It's unreal. Yeah.
Like, how are they doing it? How are they doing it? I agree.
That's the thing. I don't know. They just got given talent.
Listen, I was happy when they added, is it LaMelo? I get them Ball brothers mixed up. LaMelo to the All-Star game because he got an All-Star game. I don't know if you watched him.
Is he in there?
Yeah, they added him. He's
going to do something.
He's like, all this stuff. He's going to be throwing it off the top of the backboard, having, you know, somebody go get, he's going to be doing the things.
I think he's like, you know, like skill-wise, he's very exciting to watch. But like from like the just jumping off your screen, like Ja Morant, I think is a next level from LaMelo. But LaMelo is fun. He's young. You know, he's out here. He's doing the whole young thing. Like it's cool to see. I think he's the best out of all those brothers.
Absolutely. Now, I got a sort of a random question, and I'm trying to see where I wrote it at. My random question is, all right.
No, Bob, don't turn into James Harden. Stay away.
No, nothing to do with Harden.
I just yelled that out there. LaMelo Ball, don't turn into Harden.
Oh, don't.
Listen to Michael Jordan. Don't turn into Harden. Stay away.
Ooh, there it is. Okay, so Ja Morant. I think I know your answer. Maybe I don't. Ja Morant, LaMelo Ball, we just talked about, two of the most exciting players in the league, and Chris Paul for your point guards. Who you got?
Right now, today, Chris Paul is proven.
100%. And I say Chris Paul because I think Chris Paul is the MVP of the league right now. I mean, other people may not agree with me, but I'm saying Chris Paul.
You take him over Joel Embiid's performance? This year?
I do.
Joel has been out there.
Joel, I think I love Joel, but I think that doggone trade is going to jack them up. I'm thinking of trade. I feel like the trade, he's going to get less of his stuff because he got hard.
If Tobias Harris plays to his potential and stop underperforming, and if Embiid and Harden can get along, they can be dangerous. But
100%.
I don't know if they can get along.
100%.
I do believe James Harden. I really do believe that the Sixers were that was his first choice.
Okay.
When he wanted him out of Houston. I do believe him when he says that. He's left several receipts. I think that, the Sixers was his first choice. So
I hope he's happy because he got him. Got him. But Chris Paul, y'all, give him some MVP votes. Because he was like the MVP to me last year. Like, how did he take
that?
They lost
to the Bucks. So
they went from worst to first. They went from worst to first now, Carlita.
Oh, listen, I respect Chris Paul. Like, Chris Paul, look what he was doing with OKC when he was in Oklahoma City.
They should have had no wins.
Nope. And again, here's James Harden. Why couldn't you play with Chris Paul?
When he was at Houston. He was a hamstring away, I think, from him winning a championship.
They just, man, I'm telling you, James Harden is a coattail rider. He's not the dude by himself. I mean, it's very hard in the league to be the guy by yourself, but, like, I just don't think he's any type of leader. I am killing James Harden. Yeah. But I don't think he has any leadership intangibles. He's just that dude that has so much game. I respect that. I'm not, like, down to the downer brother, but it's just I have to tell her how it is, how I see it. Like, no leadership intangibles. I think, like, John Morant, for example, has more leadership upside or than James Harden. Or even Trae Young, I think they have more upside leadership than him. So, I mean, I don't know how you couldn't play. And Chris Paul, I have heard things, you know, he's hard to deal with from time to time. But they're making it happen in Phoenix. So it's all about how you gel.
That's right. And I think he's softened a little bit on that end. I think previously he was like hardcore, hardcore. I think with this current group, you know, they probably listen a little bit more than people did in the past. So he's not as hard. You don't have to be as hard on him.
What do you think about Phoenix, right? You think that Phoenix will come out of the West? You think they can come out of the West?
They can, but like you said, Golden State, I think Golden State comes out of the West.
You think they come out of the West? Barring injury.
Especially if, Draymond Green comes back, because he's like the anchor for the team. Once he gets back on the court, he's the anchor, even though I'm not a big fan. Once he gets back on the court, I think they got the team.
Well, low-key, the East is now kind of...
They creeped up.
Look back. Always does that in the NBA, go back and forth.
Yeah.
But low-key, the East, I think, is the tougher side now.
I think you're right.
Miami, the Bucks, got a young Cleveland team going.
Got a Chicago team.
Chicago, exactly. So, like, you think about it, and, like, think about the West right now, all the issues. Portland is done. The Lakers are done. Really over there. The Grizzlies, Memphis is in the West, right? Yeah, Memphis, you had to deal with them. You're going to have to get them out, so they're going to give you six games. Yep. You know what I mean? So, yeah, but on the East, you got a lot of young teams who are going to make you go 5 and 6, 7 games. So, I think the East is going to be tough.
All right, we're going to close out with a couple.
Philadelphia now, we're Harden and Joe. Yeah, the East is the East now.
We're going to close out with a couple rapid-fire questions. Okay, All-Star weekend, here's your rapid-fire question. Who wins the All-Star game? Is it going to be East or West?
See, I can't answer because I don't know what happened in the draft besides Kevin Durant did not.
Oh, wait, there is no East or West. I forgot. I can't say East or West. It's not
East. Not East or West, but those two teams, it's LeBron team, LeBron the team.
It's Kevin Durant, and it's a LeBron's team. I can't remember all the players, but I know there was like a big think about the Durant trying not to take Harden, your boy. And LeBron finally took him. But I looked at the teams, and to me, it looked like I can't read them. We don't have enough time, but it looked like LeBron's team had the better team. But we'll see. We'll see. All right. So once again, I don't know who's in the 3-point contest, but I'm trying to think who's the best 3-point shooter. There's got to be. Oh, I'm hoping that Cam Cam Johnson from Pittsburgh is in there. He's a major 3-point shooter from Phoenix's team.
Son's that? Oh yeah, that guy. Yeah, I like him.
Cam, I'm hoping he's in it. Shout out to his mom too. And then, so All-Star Game MVP. We'll end on that. I think somebody young might.
All-Star Game is whoever gets hot. You know what I mean? Like the All-Star Game. I don't know.
I'm going with John Morant. All-Star Game MVP. Or Giannis, because they play the hardest.
I know, but Giannis probably like, look, Giannis is thinking about championship, not All-Star Game.
That's true.
So he may lay back and let the young boys get out there because is LaMelo and John Morant on the opposite team?
I think so.
If they are, I think they're going to act a fool. I think they're going to show up.
They're going to play for play. Play for play. That's all we got time for, Kurt.
All right.
It's been fun. We did it, you guys. Thank you to my guest, Carlita Harris. This has been the Give It Up podcast on UrbanMediaToday.com.
Shout out to Kiki, Trevin, and Mr. Alan Lakin. Everybody, give it up and be blessed.
It's Give It Up with Margo Hinton on Urban Media Today Radio. Brought to you by Nice to Media Marketing and Promotions.
The views and opinions expressed on podcast do not necessarily reflect on the official policy or position of Urban Media Today and Urban Media Today Radio. Any content provided by guests, sponsors, or advertisers are of their own opinion and are not intended to malign any religion, ethnic group, club, organization, company, individual, or anyone or anything.